There's something for every sports fan on CBSLocalSports.com. Watch live radio shows and original video programming while reading national articles from some of the best writers in the country. Visit CBSLocalSports.com today.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities.
Yes, indeed. And as usual, we welcome your phone calls and text messages related to real estate. Before I throw it to Chris and Andy, let me give you our phone numbers and the text number. 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. And I see Chris, I see Andy, I see some other familiar faces. Maybe you can tell everybody who you brought with you.
We got lots of Garth Johnson with the Realty House is back with Mr. Mr. Foreclosure, maybe, or bank-owned properties. Sells a lot of them.
And I prefer to call him Mr. Opportunity.
Mr. Opportunity.
That's a little more positive.
Well, you know what? We're going to talk about opportunity today. Some unfortunate circumstances lead into opportunities
that's,
for some.
That's correct.
And when we're talking investment properties, so we also brought in Patrick Harrigan. He's with Gain 1031 Exchange Company. We want to talk about investing and moving money so you're not getting taxed. And then Travis Whitford with Bay Equity Loans, home loans, is in today to kind of talk about the financing part of it. And Andy and I are together again.
We're wearing shorts. We're pretending it's going to be warm today.
Hey, it's almost June.
I know. It's beautiful out there. It's a great day to do some open houses. I know we've got our guys today actually up at the Blaine Air Show. You see the big balloon up there. They were sending us some pictures from on site. Looks like a really a fun family activity.
Perfect weather for that, too.
I remember when I was with the Realty House, I used to make fun of that balloon all the time.
I know.
And now I have that balloon.
You know what's funny, though, is that people come to the shows and they're looking at all the planes, and that's the other one thing they see, because the RE/MAX does a good job of actually going to a lot of the air shows and whatever, because it's kind of our thing with the balloon. Today it's a little too windy to put the big boy up there, but they have the, I think it's a 30-footer up today, but still a lot of fun.
Comfortable. At least it's not 100 degrees to
right.
see that stuff. Right. How has the week been in real estate? Have you guys, has it been a busy time?
It's nuts. I don't know about you, Chris, but I mean, even just trying to get here today, I mean, between appointments in the morning and appointments in the afternoon, which is a good thing. I mean, we're saying this in a positive way. We're seeing a lot of activity right now, and it's interesting, I find, and maybe Chris, you can obviously tell about the south side, but I'm seeing pockets. I'm seeing where, you know, properties list, they're gone in 2 days, or properties list and it's a month later and we're still, you know, scratching our heads saying what happened. And so there's a little bit of a discrepancy there between the pockets. And I think that, you know, it's unfortunate if you get stuck in one of those pockets where it's not hot yet, but you need to be smart. And I think that's something that we obviously with showings, you get the feedback, you look at, you know, staging the properties, how important all of that is, because you may only get one or two showings and then you sit for 2 weeks and those showings could have been your buyer. So, you know, it's like, don't miss those opportunities if you're in one of those slower pockets, because I think that we're starting to see where the market just moves on and forgets about you.
Well, I think when you're talking about pockets, I mean, these pockets can be really close to one another as well. So, I mean, example, it's kind of south of the river, you know, if you're 499, you're getting tons of people in, you're getting offers, you're 5.25, 535.
Oh, yeah.
It's dead. And so it's really weird. I mean, it's that close.
Yes.
Of it. And so you have to almost try to get into that little pocket to be able to kind of get multiple offers and get up.
What about your luxury market, Chris? I mean, I know a lot of times, you know, we have quite a few properties too that are nice, but I know you dabble into the really high end stuff. And so are we still seeing some real good activity up in that price range, or what's going on there?
Yeah, it's starting to come. It's starting. It's been slow, but there's some things that are finally moving, which is good. And I guess I'm talking like over $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, but there's always the special stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's on a lake and it's got something special, I mean, those are unique properties that can go pretty quick. But starting to heat up a little more. We're getting more showings.
I was going to say, you're starting to get those calls, and I am too. I've started to see where you know, hey, even this week I actually met one of our CCO listeners that actually, you know, $1 million-plus house up in an area that's not probably a lot of $1 million properties, but it's a situation of where the gorgeous house, you couldn't replace it for what they would want to sell it for. And they're like, you know what? Hey, we're thinking about moving to this area, you know, and just because the equities are there and the people are buying again. And so I think that's, I hate to say fun, but it's kind of a fun market right now. It's in those pockets.
How about you, Garth, as far as the REO market?
Well, our activity is great with what we have for sale, but we don't have the numbers, obviously, we used to. I mean, we're dealing with a 10 to 15% market share right now, probably at the most. Some areas smaller, some areas a little bit larger.
At the height, what were we?
About 55%.
And think about this, guys.
It's over half
we,
the
we
listings.
Sold, what, 55,000 properties in those? You're talking 30,000 foreclosures? I mean, those are some crazy numbers, but those are accurate. I mean, pretty close to.
Well, and within a year or two, our market totally turned around. That's just unbelievable. And, I mean, you know, the buyer demand out there, the positive, you know, the appreciation that's going on, the low interest rates, I mean, all of that has really, really helped. But, I mean, you know, we're kind of in that market right now where, you know, we're just running out of inventory.
Yeah.
We are. You guys are in the traditional market. I mean, it's tough right now. That's why we're seeing, you know, the multiple offers. We're seeing the increases in prices.
Mm-hmm.
Pending sales are up. Inventory's dropping.
New construction yeah.
is. And, you know, when you're pricing the stuff, like you talked about the luxury home market, you know, like I call that $600,000-$700,000 and higher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really got to watch the new construction competition because it's out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's very competitive right now.
Well, we're working on a couple upcoming shows, and one of them is that we're going to go into, like, developments that started kind of in that 2004, 5, 6 area, and then, you know, obviously the market stopped, the new construction market stopped, and now that these lots, now these developments are kind of a comeback. So we're going to have a show talking about, you know, where the great deals are, because there is some great deals, because people have this perception that, hey, nobody likes that neighborhood. Well, you got to look at the factors more. It's like the listing that was priced too high, and now they start figuring out, oh, there's something wrong with it. And that's what they're doing on these developments too.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something wrong. You know, otherwise it would have sold. Well, the fact is the lots were twice as much back then, and now they're half the price, and the market crashed.
Well, you know what's crazy, though, to me is, you know, we were starting to see what I call the bank-owned lots that were developers gave back to the banks. They sold like hotcakes from 2000 and probably even 12 till now. I mean, there's just virtually almost nothing left unless the banks are intentionally holding it because they know that the property values are going up or the land values are going up. But now you're starting to see what I really like is we're starting to see new shovels on new lots being turned again. You're seeing, you know, development after development starting to come online. That's
they still use shovels up north?
Chris, that's actually a heavy equipment term. You would understand.
I know.
I'm just teasing you. There's a lot of yellow out there pushing with tracks on it, put it that way. And they're developing new stuff all around us. We're starting to see that happen. And as those new lots are developed, what's interesting is we've talked about this before, 50% of that lot is fees, city fees, whack and sack, connection fees, transportation fees, city park fees. There's so many fees on these lots that, you know, $40,000 to $50,000, sometimes up in some areas like Maple Grove, it's close to $70,000 worth the infrastructure fees and just going to turning the dirt into – that's before the developer pays for the dirt. So you wonder why these lots are so expensive. You know, now you pay for the land. You do the improvements. Your cost is $175,000 on some of these lots. And people question why are these new lots $250,000? Well, that's what they have to be to make the numbers work. Or, you know, the days of finding lots under $100,000 are gone. I mean, it's just – unless you're in a really unique pocket, it just – the math doesn't work for the seller. It doesn't work for the cities. And so what's interesting to me, and I'm kind of babbling here, but the lot prices are coming back very aggressively, very fast. We're going to truly see if we've got the muster to cut through this, because this economy now with the inventory going away, and now there's still pressure on new construction to see if new construction can absorb those $30,000 and $40,000 price increases, which we're starting to see. So anyway, that's my thoughts.
We'll see. You know, we are going to talk about exchanges, and someone must have got that on one of our text questions. And this is a little more complicated question, but maybe we're going to dive into that the next segment. But it says, I want to do an exchange, and I have a new property ready to close, but I have not sold my old property. What can I do? Can I still do an exchange? Patrick Harrigan, do you want to hit on that one? Kind of a quick hit on it? I know that's an in-depth question.
That is an in-depth question. A normal exchange that we see, normal 1031 exchange, we call a forward exchange, where somebody's selling a piece of property, they want to avoid the tax, and so they're rolling their investment into a new property in that order. And that's why we call it a forward exchange, going in that order. You can do what we call a reverse exchange, and they do get more complicated than a normal forward exchange. But there is a procedure to do that. And, of course, that comes in where you're ready to purchase your new property. You got that closing all set to go. That seller is ready to sell, and you haven't sold your old property yet. As I said, it's a more complicated transaction to do that, but it can certainly be done.
Is there a time frame on that?
There's still a 180-day maximum time frame. Any exchange you do, there's a 180-day maximum time frame on it.
Well, I suppose after the break, we'll kind of dive into that and really, like you hit on it a little, what a 1031 exchange is, but why it's good for people and why it's beneficial.
All right. We'll do that. We'll take this quick break and be right back on the other side. If you do want to get involved and have a real estate question, 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. 52 degrees in the Twin Cities here in 830 WCCO.
The Twin Cities just got voted top 10 for real estate turnaround cities. Hi, this is Andy Prasky, co-host of the Real Estate Radio Hour here on WCCO every Saturday. You listen to the show and think, I should call that guy. You know, you probably should. Especially if you're thinking of listing your home. I'm sure a lot of you listening go to Zillow, Trulia, and all the other websites trying to figure out what your home is worth. It's great for data, but it's just not accurate on the information. With today's low inventory market, the information is off a little bit. Maybe there's a lack of inventory, lack of sold information, or foreclosures in your neighborhood. Your value is probably higher than you even imagined. So again, if you're thinking of selling, I want you to actually call me. I'm a full-time agent with RE/MAX Advantage Plus. I've helped almost 1,000 families, and I'd like to help you. Please call 763-433-0850. I'm going to tell you what your home is actually worth, and I think you'll be shocked. So call today, 763-433-0850. Or visit Prasky.com, PRASKY.com.
Being a nosy neighbor is a good thing when you use the free real estate services on RealEstateRadioHour.com. Nosy Neighbor gives you local market updates customized for your neighborhood. It's free with no obligation. So it's okay to be a nosy neighbor at RealEstateRadioHour.com.
And welcome back to this portion of our Real Estate Radio Hour. You're welcome to ask your question either by phone or by text, 651-989-9226. The text number is 81807. Speaking of the phones, folks, we do have callers on the line. Let's get to them. Pat is calling from Grove City. Pat, you're on CCO. Thank you.
Okay. I was just wondering, if you have a quitclaim deed and you want to take a person off, can you just cross out the name, or is there a lot of paperwork and it has to wait 10 years before, you know, did I, or like a will?
Well, Pat, you can't just cross it off. That's for sure. But that person could quick claim their interest over to you. Patrick Harrigan is a practicing attorney as well, so he can answer this legally.
I can tackle it. Yeah, not really related to exchanges, of course. But whenever you do a deed, that's a simple document. But you do a deed each time. Each time you convey property, it's a separate transaction where you're going to have a grantor and a grantee. Mm-hmm. So a deed is a conveyance of that interest each time.
Rights of ownership, but it's not a financial like tool like a mortgage or something like that. So if there's mortgages that are riding on that property, you may convey your interest, but you may still have a financial instrument that you're tied to that, you know, you might not be able to get rid of without the financial company's approval.
Well, the other thing is, that if you quick claim your interest over to someone, mm-hmm. you know, that doesn't mean – I mean, that person who's getting that interest is responsible for everything that's on there. They're just saying, you know what, I'm out of here, I'm gone. You can record it with the county for, what, 25 bucks?
50 bucks.
Yeah. 50 bucks. Mm-hmm. And you could get an attorney to certainly draft it up for you. Or you could actually do your deed yourself.
But it's a mess, though. I've seen big families where they all own a cabin together, and then the one brother that's a troublemaker that has all the stuff happening and the judgments and the lawsuits against them all lands on their property. And so, it can be a mess.
All right. Thank you, Pat, for that. Hope that helped. Roslyn is calling from Glenwood City. Roslyn, what is your question, please?
Yes, we did a 1031 in 2014, but I'm wondering if the rules have changed in the last 2 years for the 1031. More specific, our tax accountant tells us that we can rent for 2 years, and I thought he said we could claim it as our primary residence without paying the taxes that we would owe on, You know, when you do a 1031 and you bought the, we bought the land in 71 and we just sold it last year, we
capital
have a lot
gain.
Of tax. Yeah.
Capital
so that's
gain
my
tax.
Question.
Okay, we'll let Patrick Harrigan take a shot at that one.
What was the property you purchased as part of the exchange?
Well, we purchased the farm, 110 acres in 1971, and we sold it last year. So we would have owed the government $50,000 to $60,000.
But then you rolled that into a new property, correct?
Yes, the 1031.
And what was the new property? What type of property was it, the new one?
It was a home, a three-bedroom home in Hammond.
Okay, and then that got rented out for a period of time?
Yes, it's rented out.
Okay, perfect. Yep, that works with an exchange because both properties were business or investment in nature, so that works just fine. Here's where I think you were going with it is what you were looking at is converting that property from what was an investment property when you did the exchange, because it was a rental, into what would be your primary residence, correct? I think that's where she's going. Okay.
Just assume.
Okay. So what I think you were talking about with your accountant then was your ability to now sell that property and avoid paying tax upon that sale as your primary residence, which is a whole different section of the tax code. Generally speaking, if you sell your primary residence, unless you've got an extreme amount of gain, you can avoid paying the capital gains tax when you do that. And there is the ability to convert what was an investment property into your primary residence, so you've deferred all that tax, all that gain into the new property, then sell it as your primary residence. There's a couple rules there, though. One is to sell it as your primary residence, it would still have to have been your for two out of the last 5 years. That's kind of that normal rule. But there's also a five-year holding period between the time you had acquired it as part of an exchange and you sell it as your primary residence. And I think that rule is about 5 to 6 years in place now. So you can do that. There's also the possibility of some proration there. So between the gain you had that was investment and what was your primary residence. But generally speaking, it's a nice strategy. We see a lot of people will sell investment properties here, buy something in Arizona or Florida. We do a lot of closings for replacement properties down there. They rent it for a while, then they move down there, convert it to their primary residence, and are able to, all that tax they deferred, are able to really get rid of it entirely by using those rules. So it works good.
Good retirement plan
for
the 1031 exchanges.
All right, let's take a break. We have another half hour of the show to go. We've got callers in the line, texters as well. If you have a real estate question, we welcome yours, 651-989-9226, and the text number is 81807. In the Twin Cities, 52 degrees. Back with more of the Real Estate Radio Hour here on 830 WCCO.
Do you love listening to your favorite podcasts on Play.it? Sign up today for the Play.it newsletter to receive monthly updates on new podcasts, notable guests, trending shows, and more. Sign up now at PlayItNewsletter.com. That's PlayItNewsletter.com. Hear what you've been missing.
Brandon Martin here from Tradewind Properties, the Twin Cities' trusted source for leasing and property management services. Ever wonder why the home down the street rented for more money? Floor plan, upgrades, overall condition play a huge role in attracting quality tenants and receiving top dollar for your rental property. Tradewind Properties has helped thousands of Minnesota landlords rent their homes while maximizing rental income.
Visit TradewindProperties.net for a free home rental quote. Local and military veteran owned, TradewindProperties.net. Because renting your home should be a breeze.
And welcome back to this portion of our Real Estate Radio Hour. We were getting callers on the line and texters as well. Here's the phone number if you have a real estate question. 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. Andy, we've got a friend of yours on the line, right?
Yeah, I think we've got our good friend Tom Norden with RE/MAX Advantage Plus calling in.
Hey, Andy, this is Tom with the Preferred Home Team at RE/MAX Advantage Plus. I'm out here, excited to be out here at Discover Aviation Days, running today and tomorrow at the Anoka County Airport in Blaine. We've got the RE/MAX balloon on display, many vintage military aircraft, and a marvelous air show currently in progress. Some of the neat activities include a T-6 squad flyover, parade of cars, a Warbird flyover, canine demonstrations, a T-6 Thunderbird flyover, going on today and tomorrow at Anoka County Airport.
I heard they grounded you, Tom.
They did. It was a little too windy for our very large Remax balloon, but we have our 20-foot balloon up in place, so it's very visible, and we've got a big crowd out here. Everybody's enjoying themselves and the weather. And I'm also excited to announce our affiliation with a fantastic custom home builder in Minneapolis metro area, Pat Flynn and Eternity Homes. We're about to open the 9th edition at Woodland Village in Blaine. Mm-hmm. Come out and see our beautiful model at 4341 118th Court Northeast in Blaine. We're open. We have an open house every Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 4. It's a gorgeous model. Many fantastic lots still available. Call me for more information at 763-807-0367.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thank you very much, Tom.
Okay. Talk to you.
All right. I see a line is open. If you have a real estate question, 651-989-9226.
Hey, let's talk a little about investment financing here. Mr. Travis Whitford with Bay Equity Home Loans. Travis, that's a lot of reasons people don't go get investment properties. I mean, we just heard from Tradewinds Property. First of all, it's hard to manage them by yourself if you're not used to it. But getting the loan is another scary part for somebody.
Yeah, you have to be a little more of a savvy borrower, you know, a little stronger in the asset department as far as down payment. Typically, when you buy a house that's designated as an investment property, larger down payment. You also need to typically have some reserves post-closing, so additional money in the bank, whether it's, checking, savings, 401k or other investments. And the debt-to-income ratios are a little bit more strict when you're dealing with investment property financing as well.
So, I mean, you have your own home. That counts against you, right?
Correct.
That's a payment against you. Okay. So you got to qualify with that. You can't use the rent.
Unless you have a history of rental properties. If you have a history of rental properties, of owning rental properties on your tax returns, on your Schedule E's, then you can use subject property rent if you have a signed lease and evidence of the security deposit has been deposited. That would be an instance where you can. But if you don't have history of rental income or rental properties, you can't use that rental income to qualify.
Our phone number, there's one open, 651-989-9226. Let's go back to the phones. Dan is calling from Shakopee with a question. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I just had a question pertaining to the 1031 program. If some property was purchased with the 1031, what happens to those taxes? Are they actually disappear, or are they just deferred until another sale? If you could explain that a little bit, what actually goes on with the tax process there?
Yeah, that's a good question. When you do a 1031 exchange, you're deferring the tax. So whatever gain you had in your old property is rolling over into the new property. So the tax doesn't, that gain doesn't go away necessarily. So if you then sell the new property, you can get some recapture of that gain and some payment at that point. Of course, if you keep doing exchanges, you can keep referring it. But it doesn't disappear. It just got rolled into the new property.
It just keeps moving on until you finally sell it and keep that money. Yep. Anytime you keep money, and on an exchange too, I mean, you have to move equal or greater value up, right?
To have complete tax deferral, you do. Yep.
But you don't have to do it. You just pay tax on the part that you didn't or that you took.
That's correct. The term in the industry is boot. So if you take $30,000 out of a sale and you roll over the rest, you won't pay tax on the rest, but you're likely going to get taxed on the $30,000. So you can arrange it to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, but a 1031 exchange is a good way in which to be able to kind of, I mean, we just talked about retirement planning as well. Same exact thing. I mean, you're a great example of, taking something that maybe you have some rental properties here, switch it over down somewhere in Arizona, rent that out for a few years, and then head on down.
Well, we've dealt with this with a lot of our landowners that are now going to have their properties developed. They're selling to the developers. I've been involved in several of those transactions where we actually get the seller as part of the contract. We negotiate that so that they can, identify another property, and it's all part of the exchange to cooperate with and help facilitate the seller. So it's a way to do it. I mean, it's definitely a fantastic tool, Anyway.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Mary has been waiting there in Eden Prairie with a question. Thank you, Mary. What is your question?
Hi. I'm just wondering, after you do a short sale, how long after can you purchase another home? And then are your qualifications any different for getting a new mortgage?
Mary, I'm glad you asked that because we just had an offer on one of my listings that someone had a short sale previously and were able to get a loan in 2 years.
Yeah,
Travis, you want to touch on that?
There's lots of, you know, timelines depending on, you know, what was the what caused that, you know, that short sale. You know, was there, you know, a major financial hardship, extenuating circumstance? I mean, some instances you can get financing in a year, in a year afterwards. But but standard with FHA, it's you know, a 3 year wait after a short sale. There's an extenuating circumstance of 2 year, and then the back to work program is a 1 year. Conventional financing, it you know, they typically is a 4 year wait. Unless you qualify for their extenuating circumstance, then it's a 2 year wait.
So do you got to take a higher interest rate after that time?
No,
you qualify just like normal.
Qualify like normal. Your interest rate might be a little bit higher if your credit score is a little bit lower, because there's adjustments to your interest rate based on your credit score.
You know, I can say from a listing agent perspective, and Garth, you can probably touch on this too, but that if someone comes in and says, hey, I had a short sale 3 years ago and I'm going to buy your house. I mean, we're going to want, as a listing agent for, you know, our seller, representing our seller, a real good explanation from a lender.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
That they can do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, there's the timelines and the type of financing you're applying for, like we're talking about, can be different. And you just, it's all about making sure that the loan officer's got all the facts and all the figures and knows the story. And, you know, it's gone through some type of underwriting, so you have a commitment. So you know that you're good to go if you've got a pre-approval letter from somebody who's been through any type of financial hardship.
You know, and something like that too. If you're one of those borrowers that have that, you know, and say Travis is doing the loan, that, I mean, Travis can make the call to that listing agent and just kind of reassure them of that, you know, because that's a lot more, says a lot more than that, or it backs up that piece of paper that we get.
Yeah, I get a lot of calls from listing agents just on any pre-approval letter that I send out. Probably good, at least 50% of the listing agents will kind of call just to, you know, pick my brain, just get that, you know, reassurance that, you know, everything is solid with the buyer.
And obviously there's confidential information that you can't share, but.
Correct, yeah. No, you can't give them too much information, but you can definitely rub their belly a little bit to make them feel better about it.
I bet you Andy attacks those loan officers, don't you, Andy?
Yes.
All right, I tell you what, let's take a break. We have more show to come. If you do have a question, real estate related, 651-989-9226, or send a text 81807. We'll take this break, be back on the other side with more of the Real Estate Radio Hour. 52 degrees, heading for 62 here on CCO.
Hi, Mia here with Alexanders, your Twin Cities moving expert. One major stress factor when moving locally is damage and claims. With Alexander's exclusive common sense coverage, we've taken a common sense approach to items that are damaged in the moving process. If we break it, we will fix it or replace it. No purchase coverage required, saving our customers hundreds of dollars. You'll be thrilled you chose Alexander's. We guarantee it. To learn more about our common sense coverage or to schedule a free no-obligation estimate, give us a call at 952-844-6842 or you can check us out at realestateradiohour.com.
And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our real estate show. We still have time for your calls, your questions, either a phone call or a text message. One line is open at 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. Let's go back to the phones. Jennifer is on a cell phone, first of all. Thank you, Jennifer.
Hi. So we just sold our first home, and we had lived there for about 7 years and rented it out for a year and a half. And so we have our check now, and we're wondering if we should expect to pay taxes on that, similar, just added to an income tax, or if it's taxed differently.
When did you convert it from your primary residence?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay.
So they're there 2 out of the previous 5 years.
Yeah. Of course, check with your accountant, but what you likely want to look into is still having that taxed as if it was your primary residence. And what Chris was alluding to is you can avoid tax on your primary residence as long as it was your residence 2 out of the last 5. So it doesn't have to be when you sell it, but if you go back 5 and 2 out of the last 5, as long as you haven't used that section of the tax code already recently, but then you can avoid tax there. So that's what I'd look at.
Any kind of tax, including it's not even going to be income tax?
Did you make, you got it as a married couple, what can you make, up to $500,000?
Right.
Let's refer that to an accountant, though. I don't want to get in trouble, boys.
Start shopping.
Absolutely. Yep. We'll talk about capital gains tax. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Very good.
No, she should be okay. Let's just say that. But I would talk to her accountant if I was her.
Or MFK or whoever.
All right.
Garth, you had a good question.
Yeah, for Patrick, on these 1031 exchanges, we get a lot of calls from people that have bought, you know, for example, foreclosure properties 4 or 5 years ago, and they've got a nice portfolio, and now they want to start doing something different, and they've got some appreciation in the last 4 or 5 years after holding these properties. As an agent, when we're advising somebody what to do, you know, obviously we have to be careful because we're not, you know, legal or accountant people. But so if we refer them to your organization and they, for example, if they want to do a 1031 exchange, is there some language or how do we get started? Is there some language we should put in the contract that protects them so they can do a 1031 exchange before they are obligated to a sale? Or are you seeing any specific language or something we should look out for or how we should counsel them?
Yeah, well, the exchange primarily begins when you close on your sale. But, of course, that transaction begins when you're working on your purchase agreement. So we do suggest putting something in your purchase agreement. There's no magic language, but it is a good idea to put something in the purchase agreement which simply says that the seller is going to be executing an exchange so that the buyer knows what's going on. When you get to closing, there's some additional documents for the exchange so that the buyer knows why they're doing that. So I do suggest that. It is a good idea.
Yep. Yeah, and there may be a time period where this buyer may give you some time to identify a new property in case you haven't found anything.
And that's also related to when the transaction closes. Right. Yep, that's when your exchange begins and you start to need to look at where you're going to go with that investment.
Yep. Correct. Okay.
All right, back to the phones we go. Lori is calling from Andover with a question. Thank you, Lori.
Hi. You've been talking a lot about how to defer taxes if you sell a home and buy another. My situation is that I had purchased with a business partner several rental homes, and now we're trying to sell them all. So we sold 2 in 2014, and we'll sell 1 or 2 in 2015, and I'm really worried about getting hit with taxes because we're not purchasing more. And I don't know if there's anything else I can roll that money into that you might be aware of to kind of take a softer hit.
Yeah, when you're doing an exchange, you do need to exchange real estate for real estate. Now, the definition of that for a 1031 exchange is fairly flexible. It does need to be investment property again or business property like you're mentioning. But from there, you can roll into really anything else that's a business or investment type property. And again, the intent there is to avoid those taxes.
Hey, Patrick, how do I get a hold of you? So I'm listening to the show right now. I've got an idea or have a question. How can we get a hold of you directly if we have a question?
Simply give us a call, 612-655-7960.
And we'll also throw a link on our realestateradiohour.com website so you can also find Patrick there as well.
Great.
Travis, what do we got? We're getting towards the end here. We got any good last info for somebody looking to buy an investment property?
Well, actually, I just want to give a big thanks to my team here at Bay Equity. We just brought Bay Equity into the Minnesota market earlier this month, and everyone worked extremely hard, and we closed right around 60 loans in our first month here.
Wow.
as Bay Equity. So I just want to, you know, thank all the loan officers, all the processors, all the loan officer assistants for all the hard work that they've done here the last month.
Big time. Okay. That's great.
Mr. Garth, you got any parting words?
No,
Before Andy takes over?
Yeah.
Well, you got it.
The market's excellent. And with the shortage of inventory, I say this just about every time I'm on the air, with the shortage of inventory, if you're a buyer or a seller out there, now's the time to hire an agent. You can get top dollar if you're a seller.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a buyer, you need an agent to help you get through multiple offers and low inventory. And it's the only way to go.
That actually might be a great question, a
professional real estate agent helping you out right now.
When you're interviewing those guys, asking that specific question I think is a great idea. Have you ever, you know, been in multiple offers, and how many do you win versus lose? That's a great question when you're interviewing your agents.
Exactly. Yep. The agent can help you.
We're going to be back next week, and it'll be in the month of June. How about that? Moving.
It's 80 and sunny, guaranteed. Yeah,
tell you what, before we leave you, let me give you the hotline number. The guy set it up for our CCO listeners. 612-499-4828. Again, 612-499-4828. But you must check out the website. It's a great resource. realestateradiohour.com, realestateradiohour.com. See you back here next week.
Do you love listening to your favorite podcasts on Play.it? Sign up today for the Play.it newsletter to receive monthly updates on new podcasts, notable guests, trending shows, and more. Sign up now at playitnewsletter.com. That's playitnewsletter.com. Hear what you've been missing.